Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank you and acknowledge you for joining us on this Wednesday evening here in August, second week in, towards the end of the summer. Welcome all to Purposeful Conversations, my bi-monthly radio show where I speak to ordinary people about their extraordinary personal stories. My name is Jose Albino, Certified Life and Empowerment Coach, and I will be your host today and every other Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. Again, I want to acknowledge you, and I'm glad that you made the decision to be with us and put yourself in a position to be open to learning something from us. And also, our hope is that we learn something from you as well. My intention for the show is very simple. As I've said before, my hope is that you leave this conversation with a bit more clarity and have a few more, you know, I've never thought about it like that moment, a lot of aha moments. And hopefully you can begin the process of seeing things, some things from a more developmental lens, if you will. Having said that, during our conversation, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. If for some reason you can't listen in and stay with us for the entire hour, this show will be archived. So you can always come back and go to Blog Talk Radio, search for Life Coach Radio Network, and search for Purposeful Conversation. Also, I usually post the archived link on my Twitter and other social media feeds, so you can always look out for that. Also, feel free to copy the link of the shows that resonate with you and forward them to some in your network that can benefit from the information and the golden nuggets that I've provided during the shows. And as usual, I'm going to give individuals some time to join us before we formally begin. And in the meantime, as traditional that I'm doing for my show, I want to set the tone for the show and reference some inspirational quotes that talk to the topic that we'll be addressing today, which is forgiveness, while we wait for other listeners to join us. So we have a few for you today. The first one is from Oscar Wilde, and it states, "Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much." Again, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. The second one is from Gandhi. "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. This one is from my friend in my head, Oprah Winfrey, and it states, "True forgiveness is when you can say thank you for that experience." Again, true forgiveness is when you can say thank you for that experience. And the last one is, and I'm not too sure who did say this one, and it says, "I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than him." Again, I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than him. I also believe with that quote is that, you know, I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. And in the same light, we should be able to forgive others as well. Now, this show is on the heels of a national conversation that has been happening on the OWN Network, the Oprah Winfrey Network, again, a friend in my head, that is happening regarding forgiveness as it pertains to the absence of one's mother or father in one's life, be it physical presence or emotional or otherwise. I just wanted to know that today, as the show description stated, I was going to interview Ms. Laura Soto and Mr. Ernesto Hernandez, both of whom are at different continuum in terms of forgiveness for their own individual reasons. Both have compelling stories that complement each other, and both stories shared on the same show would have made for a dynamic show. Unfortunately, one of the guests had a last-minute emergency, and as such, we will be having them as a guest at a later show. So again, Ms. Soto and Ms. Hernandez were invited guests today, but there was a last-minute emergency, and in speaking to them, having personal conversations, their story of forgiveness actually complemented each other to the extent that I really wanted both of them to be on the show, which would have made for a very dynamic show. So please look out for that show in the near future. So stepping in for them today in a last-minute capacity as a favor to me is my dear friend, Carmen Pena. She is an inspirational life trainer and writer who was actually the first guest on my show and spoke to us about living purposely. Carmen, the author of the forthcoming book, Bridges to Happiness and Success, Practical Ways to Live Your Best Life Now. Today, she'll be talking to us on the issue of forgiveness, and by extension, also compassion. So, Carmen, welcome, and thank you for being with us tonight on so short notice.
You are very much welcome, Jose. It is my honor to be your friend and to partner with you on all things related to helping people heal and get to a better place in their lives of consciousness, of happiness, and of success in all levels and areas of their lives. So, again, it is my pleasure to join you here and our listeners for this amazing journey towards the bridge of forgiveness.
Very, very well said. Very well said. So, Carmen, listen, in the past, it's no secret that I've been to several of your seminars that you've had, and you shared a lot of personal testimonies with us. One that was very poignant was the one of forgiveness, one that the topic that we're speaking about, specifically towards your work and your towards journey towards forgiveness towards your father. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Where to begin? And the reason why I say that, Jose, is because this forgiveness is such a big word. There's so many layers of history, of pain, of suffering, of resentment that is attached to the word forgiveness. And for many years, I knew that there was this weight I was carrying on me, and I also knew that it had a large part to do with my father, my relationship with my father, who did the best that he can with what he had. You know, Oprah, one of our favorite friends in the world, our spiritual soul sister, often says, has, you know, recited on her show, and I believe she gets this from her mentor, Maya Angelou, when you know better, you do better. And it has been this saying that continues to go through my mind whenever I get an image of my father or whether I have an interaction with him that may or may not be coming from a place of love and compassion. I remind myself of his humanity. And there's a history behind every person. There's emotions attached to every person's feelings. And it took me a long time to acknowledge that I was putting blame on him for my own unhappiness. And I made a choice to do that. But in order for me to be able to make that choice consciously, I had to first be aware that I was carrying the weight and the resentment and the anger and how it was showing itself in very clear ways in my life and other times in subtle ways that it took me doing work to actually have these things come to the surface. It has been a large part of my journey of healing. Forgiveness has played a huge role in forgiving myself and also forgiving the people in my life that I felt have hurt me in some way or maybe did not treat me the way I wanted them or needed them to treat me at the time.
Now, why not, you know, that's a powerful story, you know, and it sounds to me like you've done the work, but why not move forward with owning these emotions? Why is forgiveness so important for an individual if they desire to move forward with their lives?
Okay, because the first step is, as we've mentioned before, right, is having an awareness of the fact that there's something that's going on, there's some connection between you and this other person, and having the awareness, having that feeling that just doesn't feel right inside of you, the pain, the resentment, the anger, it reveals itself in many different ways. And then once you get to the point that you realize, I no longer want to carry that weight, then that's when the work begins of you saying, okay, I need to forgive this person, not for the person per se, but I need to forgive this person because I no longer am willing to move forward in my life with this weight on me that is called unforgiveness. When we don't forgive ourselves or we don't forgive another person, that ends up blocking many of the great things that can potentially come into our lives because we're holding on to something that happened in the past. Right? Like you've heard me say one of my favorite quotes, forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past could have been any different. In my situation with my father is a classic example. My hope always, ever since I was a little girl, as far back as I can remember, was that my father would have been the type of father that was not only there physically, but that was present. And what I mean by that was that he was present emotionally, physically, mentally, that he saw me, that he was connected to me as his child, and that he was playing an active role in my life. And to his credit, he was doing that to a degree, but he wasn't doing it to the point by which I thought that he should have been doing it. And then that's where the judgment comes in. I was judging him for not being the father that I wanted him to be. Now in my adulthood, right, now in my adulthood, I'm able to distinguish that. And this is where I mean the layers start coming in, Jose, because there have been layers and layers of forgiveness. This happens with my clients all the time. They ask me, Carmen, how often do I have to forgive? You sometimes have to forgive every time you see the person because they may say something that pisses you off or they may say something that ignites this pain button inside of you that has not been healed yet. The good news is after you start going through the pain and it starts revealing itself, the layers upon layers of pain that you've been holding on to for many years sometimes, is that you start healing those wounds. And the more you heal the wounds, and the more you're able to then be around that person, and it's no longer as hurtful, it's no longer as painful. The anger is not there as strongly. But that work really does begin with the word forgiveness and love, really. At the end of the day, it all boils down to love.
Absolutely. Now, let me just ask you, either, you know, within your personal story, even perhaps your work with clients, you know, I heard you mention manifestations. You know, there's different behaviors. There's, you know, possibly some dysfunctions, whether it be overeating, whether it be relying on the wrong man or the wrong woman, or, you know, drinking too much. So there's these manifestations that come up for us. How does one tie in to that these behaviors are linked in perhaps to a person or a situation that, like, as I mentioned to you before, has roots or legs in our lives? How does one make that connection where, you know, I've seen this pattern about myself? How do you make the correlation, or is it something is it more of a sense of intuition and knowingness, or is there something that someone can say, the reason why I do this is because of, you know, I hope my wish for this person could have been this way but wasn't, which is what you alluded to.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. You know, Jose, what it boils down to is that unless we're aware of the fact that we're feeling a certain way about someone, and we start doing the work to become more conscious of it. Like you mentioned the word intuition. You mentioned this internal knowingness, right? I know myself better than any other person on this planet. Like, every individual is an expert on themselves. Now, are there steps to knowing yourself even better? Absolutely, right? Because there's sometimes things that we're unaware of. Like, for example, for a long time, I was unaware of the fact that I was using food as a way to medicate, to self-medicate, to make myself feel better because I was in pain about something else. And granted, I'm a food connoisseur. I love all types of food. And I know that you can relate to that because we just shared a meal yesterday.
Right?
However,
a very good one.
A very good one, yes. Thank you again. So, but there are moments when you acknowledge, okay, there's a difference between me enjoying this meal and me actually taking it to an extreme. Is this my go-to action or behavior when I'm feeling sad, angry, pissed off, whatever, lonely? Is this my go-to behavior? And then that's when you start becoming a little bit more aware, when you start asking yourself those questions. It's literally like you're standing, you're doing something, and you have the sense of consciousness, and you're standing there observing yourself. And it happens little by little, Jose. Like, for some people have been doing this work for a long time, and they know intuitively how they act and how they behave when they're feeling a certain way. Like, I've become a lot more conscious of that. But just today, I decided, you know what? I'm going to have a Häagen-Dazs milkshake. I'm going to treat myself. But before I treated myself, I asked myself, what is going on right now with me emotionally? Is there something that I'm trying not to feel? Is there something that hurts right now inside of me? Did someone do or say something that upset me or made me feel sad or made me feel angry, or this pain resonated inside of me? Like, what's going on? So I started to ask myself those questions in order to become more conscious of whether this behavior is being associated with me simply really wanting to enjoy my dulce de leche Häagen-Dazs milkshake, or whether it was that something else happened that really got me upset. So the first thing that I would recommend...
But it also sounds like you have to choose to acknowledge that you want to go there. You know, you have to choose that you don't want to be in denial any longer. You have to choose that you don't want to sit in the comfortable seat of being a victim, which is easier to say, this person did that to me, and you're going to engage in this maladaptive behavior, because it's very hard to choose to be aware and make decisions to step outside of that space that is so comfortable, because perhaps you've lived in that space for so many years.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you 150%. I mean, it does begin with this denial piece, and that's what I mean. You know, we can go through our lives either very much asleep and just waking up in the morning and moving forward with our day and just, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with this person, that person, and just my life is okay. Or you can make the conscious choice to say, you know what, I actually do have one life, and I am not guaranteed tomorrow. For all we know, we are not guaranteed 5 minutes from now. So let me live my life as awake as possible. But I have to say this, being awake, being conscious, this making the choice not to live in a state of denial anymore is not for the faint of heart. Like, it's a courageous move that takes strength. And it takes a lot of a sense of willingness to say, you know what, I'm no longer happy the way I've been living. I'm no longer happy with considering myself a victim. I am a victor and not a victim. And then what is my next step after I acknowledge that I'm no longer happy with that title, with that label, or even how that makes me feel? How does it feel to blame someone else for your own happiness? Really, the only one that has control over your life is you at the end of the day. It's about making the choice to be happy or making the choice to be unhappy. And now that I'm aware of that, right, more often than not, I'm making the choice. And Jose, you can speak to this. You end up catching yourself because we all go through the denial
mm-hmm,
moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I shared a very personal story with you where, and I'll go ahead and put it out there, where I found some type of growth on my breath, and I've been in a state of denial the last, you know, month or two, and thinking of 1,001 excuses, you know. But the point is that I have to acknowledge that that is there, and that I need to face it, and that is where the courage comes in, where you're scared of the unknown, but you say, you know what, I'm going to move forward anyway.
Mm. That's interesting that you mentioned that in terms of the scariest part, because it's really going to really speak to what I wanted to address next. And it's just that, you know, perhaps someone listening, even for both of us, we've had many conversations, because there's no secret that we're very good friends, is that, you know, it's very scary, and I'm glad that you acknowledge that. And you alluded to your situation, your health situation, is that it's very scary, right, for someone to step into this place of knowingness, right? Because once you say, once you know better, you do better, and sometimes the denial piece keeps us from doing something. So it's when you're in denial, it's a very safe place, very safe space. But you know, in terms of knowing that, stepping into this space of knowingness or forgiveness, it's a very vulnerable situation. What gifts do you think the person will receive if they, you know, step into this courageous space, knowing that they are going to be vulnerable and knowing that it takes courage and that it's going to be a little uncomfortable, if, you know, for a little while? But I think that people need to realize and listen or know that there are gifts that come with stepping into this light, into this space of courage, when it's very difficult to do.
Mm. Absolutely. The first word, I'm sitting here with my eyes closed, the first word that comes into my mind, and I'm speaking from my heart right now, is the word bliss. Bliss is what comes to mind when I think of the gifts, the blessings, when we make the choice to forgive, using my forgiveness of myself to begin with, forgiving myself for all the decisions that I've ever made in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly that have led me to the point in my life where I'm at right now, and the growth that has taken place. Forgiveness of someone like my father, who after years of unforgiveness, and then after making the attempt to take a step forward and then take it a step back and then think, but didn't I just forgive this man like last week and now I have to forgive him again? Yes, I have to forgive him again. Because now, years later, I am reaping the rewards of that. My father ended up breaking his arm. I was in Florida in January for the Miami Half Marathon. When I came back, I found out that he had slipped on the ice 10 days prior and had not gone to the doctor because he didn't think it was a big deal and he was waiting for me to get back from Florida so that I can go with him. That in and of itself speaks to the different type of relationship that my father and I have at this point. Never before would that have happened. And the way God and the universe works, we were compelled to spend one day a week together for the last 5 months, going to the hand clinic so that he can get therapy, or going to the doctor so that they can check it out. And during that time, we made the conscious decision to spend this time together, right? And he told me at one point, he's like, oh, you have to do this because you're my daughter. And with as much love and compassion as I could muster, I told him, I don't have to do anything that I choose not to do. I am doing this because I am your daughter and because I honor you and respect you as my father, and I love you. And as a result of that, I am making the choice to bring you to the doctor and to spend this time with you. And I had to be very clear with him about that because I didn't have to do that. But I made a choice for me and I made a choice for him. And that has helped our relationship tremendously. And to think back to years ago when I couldn't even think about my father without having this this anger, this pain, or this deep, deep, deep hurt that was there from when I was like 5, 6 years old that was still inside of me. And now I recently just passed by his house, and as I was driving by his house, it was late at night and I wasn't going to go visit him, but I blessed him with love and peace. And I stopped myself and it hit me. I thought I was having an out-of-body experience. I'm like, did that just happen? I just sent my father love and peace? Wow, I've come a long way. And that's the gift. That's the gift, because I've shifted in terms of my relationship with my father. Other areas in my life have shifted as well. And I've made room for love. I've made room for forgiveness. I've made room for compassion. And it's just like you working out at the gym, you working out a muscle at the gym whole day, right? You have to keep at it for it to continue to get stronger. There's the spiritual muscle. There's the emotional muscle. There's the forgiveness muscle. There's the muscle of love and compassion that we have to continue to work on every single day. Every moment we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. Whether we're going to live in a space of love or we're going to live in a space of fear, whether we're going to live in a space of forgiveness or we're going to live in a space of resentment and anger. So many gifts.
I love that. Now, one of the actors, Will Smith, said throughout life, and I quote, throughout life, people will make you mad, disrespect you, and treat you bad. Let God deal with the things that they do, because hate in your heart will consume you too. What role do you think faith or the belief in a higher power plays in forgiving someone, or has played perhaps in your own personal story?
I am laughing because without faith, without my strong spirituality, there's no way that I would have been able to forgive anyone, including myself. It is when you come from and it doesn't matter what you practice. You can be Catholic, Christian, Buddhist, Jewish. I was having a conversation with one of my clients yesterday about this because she knows I meditate, and I told her, imagine being raised Catholic, and I was just asked by my priest, one of the traditions that I have is to go to church on Sundays to the Spanish Mass with my mother, and whenever I'm in town, I do that. But this is a woman who was raised Catholic, who listens to Joel Osteen, Christian, before I go to church, right, because he comes on at 9, who also meditates, and I go to a Buddhist temple on Saturdays. This is all... So many roads lead to that one spiritual higher force. And at the end of the day, it equals love. And when you live from a place of spirituality, when you live from a place of love, there's no room for unforgiveness. There's no room for anger. When you live from a place of gratitude, when you're in a state of gratitude, anger and unforgiveness cannot hold the same space. So that's why spirituality and faith has played such a powerful role in this journey. And I say a journey because it's a lifelong journey. We all hold on to something. Most of us, if not all of us, believe in something. And whatever that something is for you, then hold on to that. And during the difficult times, during the times when you ask yourself, how can I forgive this person? Or how can I forgive this circumstance? Or how can I forgive this experience? Hold on to that faith. Hold on to that deep-rooted belief in a higher power outside of you and also inside of you. And say, I am willing. I am willing. Please show me how. And when you do that, miracles happen. Magic happens. and shifts occur in your life.
I have a total agreement with you that there's just something bigger that's working with you, not against you. If you believe in that, if you believe in something bigger than you, and in saying that, would you say that forgiveness speaks? Or, you know, because forgiveness, has a continuum, right? You know, people are working towards it. People are in the process or sitting in it, or people are contemplating it. So this continuum, would you say that in speaking of, about the universe or God, that in terms of speaking about forgiveness, that it speaks to a person's spiritual maturity or even emotional maturity?
I say that it does and it doesn't, you know. On that one, I'm going to have to just say it just is. You know, everyone has a spirit inside. So whether you're just beginning on your spiritual path, or whether you have, you're spiritually mature because you've been doing this work and you've been flexing your spiritual muscles, it's a matter of being able to then maybe forgive quicker than someone that's just starting. And I'm going to give you a prime example of that. Just now, before this call, I and maybe about 95% of the population in the United States that has Powerball decided to play the Powerball because it's like $425 million, right? So I go to the spot where I usually go to, and I walk straight up to the counter because I have friends there, AJ and Pop. Pop owns the store, and I've been playing there for years. So there were the people on the other line, and all of a sudden I'm having a conversation with AJ, and the people on the other line say, oh, is there another line? Because we've been waiting here, and now people are coming up to the counter. And I'm already done with my ticket, saying goodbye to AJ, saying how I'm going to win the $425 million.
Throwing it out to the universe.
Right, and I'm putting it out there to God and the universe. Thank you for supporting me. And I heard these people comment. And I just decided to walk out of the store. And did it bother me? Absolutely, because you know what? I'm a human being. And human beings experience human emotions. But I've also known, because I've started to do this work, that above a human being, I'm a spirit. Right? I'm a spiritual being. And because of that, because now I'm functioning not at this lower level of consciousness, where before I would have gotten really pissed off and probably would have carried that with me and probably maybe would have said something to the people, or maybe I would have still not said something but still gone back home, and on my way back home, you know, thought about it 1,000 times in my head, what I would have said, what I could have said, and all this other nonsense. Before I even walked out of the store, I forgave them. I was like, you know what? I understand. I understand what happened. They just simply didn't know that they could have gone to the other line. And because I know, I did it. So, boom, done. Forgiveness happened. So that's where you start recognizing the growth that takes place once you start becoming spiritually mature. But even if you're not spiritually mature, maybe you're just beginning in this process and you're just like, well, how do I begin to forgive? You're a spirit. So regardless of your maturity or immaturity, you still have a spirit inside of you. And again, it points to the I am willing to figure out how to forgive. Please help me. And the way will reveal itself.
It's interesting that it's interesting how the flow is happening, because you mentioned the situation, right? I call it a situational a situation where, which for you warranted forgiveness. And I know I've spoken to people, and knowing that some people knew that I was doing this show and speaking to about forgiveness, you know, someone wrote me and said, well, you know, I really am looking forward to the show because there's a lot of little things going on in my life that I just can't let it roll off. And I know that we've been speaking about forgiveness in the terms of what has legs and roots in our lives, right? History, historical figures or situations. And it's interesting that you talked about a situation that happened, right? Because there's also situational forgiveness where you just, you know, forgive the person or the situation because of what happened, which I'm alluding to what's happened with you. So what are your thoughts? Like, any more thoughts on someone who wants to exercise forgiveness towards a situational problem, a person at work, a neighbor, someone or something that doesn't have legs or roots in our lives, that people are just having a hard time just letting go and say, I'm going to release this, I'm going to forgive this person or this situation, and I'm going to move on.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because look, at the end of the day, we all experience that. You know, you mentioned, you made reference to, there are certain parts of this forgiveness journey, right? And I'm calling it the bridge to forgiveness. That's why my book is called Bridges to Happiness and Success, right? Because this is literally a bridge that we continue to cross. We go from one point, from point A to point B, from the beginning to the end, but it's a continual process, and there are layers to it. So there may be people in our lives that we have deep-rooted forgiveness issues, like the father or like relationship pieces or sibling, things like that. And then there are other situations like that may be going on at work, having to forgive a supervisor who maybe was speaking to you in a condescending manner, or who maybe wasn't honoring the work that you've been doing. You've been working so hard because you love and you feel passionate about the work that you're doing. It's a calling. It's not a job to you, but you're not being recognized or acknowledged, and having to forgive that person maybe for not doing that. So there are different types of circumstances and situations, to your point. So what I would say is this, depending on how deep-rooted it is, first and foremost, to understand that there's a lesson in everything. Everything that happens in our lives teaches us a lesson, whether we're willing to learn it or not, right? That is the question. Are we awake enough? Do we have our eyes open to acknowledge that, okay, you know what? I can learn a lesson here. And I'll give you an example of that. So recently, because, you know, it's about relationships too, I started dating, and I was dating this guy, and, you know, we decided to take things very slow. We were just friends and having a very good, you know, time with one another in terms of having fun, doing adventurous things like going zip lining and hiking, et cetera, driving movie. And then decided that this was no longer, because it's a getting to know you process, right? And once you get to know a person beyond the beautiful parts that we reveal to each other in the beginning, you start to recognize, ooh, yeah, I may not be able to live with that. Or, you know what, I don't really like what that person, you know, stands for.
That's honest. Right.
That's honest, right? We all have been through that at some point or another. So it's about asking ourselves, what did I learn from that? And immediately I decided, once I went past the initial disappointment or hurt, that, you know what, I thought this was a good one. And the reality is that he is a good one. He just wasn't a good one for me long term. He was a good one for me at that time. But I still had to end up forgiving the illusion of what I thought he was, or the illusion of what I thought that we had. And then in forgiving him, thanking him, because now I'm one step closer to finding my soulmate, because this guy had a lot of wonderful qualities. Does that make sense? And then seeing the lesson there and being able to see the interaction, the relationship as a gift, the situation as a gift, the circumstance as a gift and as a blessing. But we have to be willing to learn the lesson from it.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, one of my mantras is, what is the lesson in this? What is the gift? You know, there's always a lesson. And when I was speaking to a friend prior to the call, and I was, you know, telling her that, you know, I may have to cancel the show. Things happen. You know, they may have been, when an individual had an emergency and things happened. And then I started thinking, well, what is the lesson in this? And part of it is that it is, you're building relationships. And, you know, in our situation, have we not been conscious and focused and intentional about building relationships with each other and really getting to know each other beyond a certain point, that this conversation right here may not have been happening for the benefit of the listeners or someone who may need these nuggets. Mm-hmm. So there's always a lesson, and there's always a gift behind what's going on. So I think that's a very important nugget and aha moment hopefully for the listeners. So always ask you, what is the lesson in this? What is the gift on what's happening? But it sounds to me, based on what you said, that, you know, we not only forgive people, we give situations, we forgive the possibilities, because we also live in our heads and we have these stories. And in the interest of sharing, in the interest of topic and speaking about fathers and mothers, and you know, I'm going to share this story with you and the listeners. I wanted to loop it back to a question for you. There's parallels between your situation with your dad and my situation with my dad. And, you know, so my father and I had what I believed in my head, right, to have a very estranged relationship. This is what I believed in my head. And I say believed to be estranged because that's what I told myself, right? That wasn't the reality. There was nothing estranged about us. He lived with us. He worked fiercely hard to provide for a family. He was a Dominican man who was brought up a certain way in the rural and poor area of the Dominican Republic. But he was elusive and he was emotionally unavailable, not emotional, period. Believing that men provide financially and emotionally, that's not emotionally, that's what he believed. He was distant. The times that he did let down his guards, unfortunately, was because of alcohol, which was very often. And for years, I hated him with a seething passion. And as we know, hate is a very big word, but it is what it is, and that's what I felt. And it wasn't until, like, let's say a couple of years ago, and I consider myself to be a very self-aware, forgiving, and compassionate person, that I decided to forgive him. Not because of what he did or didn't do, but because of the person I wanted him to be, right? He was being, and you spoke a little bit about that, he was being who he was being. But I was angry at the person I wanted him to be, and not simply for the man that he was. And, you know, I worked with seniors for many, many years, basically improving their quality of life. And here I was, I hadn't spoken to my father for years. And I could, you know, me, an expert in aging and very sophisticated academically with my work in the mental health field. And I was carrying around this pain as a grown-ass man, you know. But I didn't realize how deep the wounds were until one day during supervision with my former beloved supervisor that I broke down and realized, in his current time of need, why am I not helping him out, which I wasn't. Well, needless to say, it was a huge shift, and I decided to do the work and work on myself. And it's funny because you mentioned also, forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could have been indifferent, and I can't change the past. But I noticed the feeding patterns for myself, rooted in our relationship, and I changed them. And I prayed more. I was more present, I was still more, I wrote more, I started to walk the talk more. And I'm looping this around because there's so many parallels to our story, and I'm sure to people out there who are listening and will be listening to us, who are in similar situations, who want to free themselves of a situation or a particular history with a person and working towards forgiveness. What does the work really mean? What does it entail when we say we must do the work, when we realize, right, that, oh my God, we become aware of what's happening. We become aware of, oh my God, I believed or I wanted my father to be this way, or, you know, I didn't accept him in totality for who he was, grieving the person that I wanted him to be. How do we become aware of this, whether it be a father, a situation, an uncle, or an aunt, and how do we begin to do the work? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, and this is an answer to the question you just asked me, but it's also an answer to the question that your friend asked in terms of going through some situations, mm-hmm. possibly at work, et cetera. It all boils down to becoming aware of the fact that work needs to get done, right? So that whole sense of awareness and understanding of where it comes from. But most importantly, making the choice to take inspired, massive action. Because it boils down to this. We can want to change. We can want to feel free. We could want to experience love and happiness and success and joy and a sense of fulfillment in our lives, in all our different areas, in our relationships, at work, wanting to wake up in the morning with a sense of joy and gratitude and happiness to be alive. But if we don't take action one step at a time to move forward into the light, then we're going to end up staying in the same place, right? So essentially what we do, what has worked for me, what I recommend for my clients as well, is that you shed light on the darkness. Shed light on the feelings. Shed light on the situation. And then ask yourself, A, what is the lesson that I was supposed to learn here? And B, what can I do about this now? And let me give an example of that, right? So if it comes down to a father or a parent or something like that, a deep-rooted relationship, so let me connect to this higher force. Let me pray. Pray for help. Let me talk to this higher force, you know, internally and say, you know, what is it that I can do? Share your feelings. And then take it a step further by using meditation. I mean, it doesn't matter what religion, it doesn't matter what your spiritual belief is or practice is. Meditation is a tool that we can use to connect with that higher force, right? With the internal guide, the internal God that we have inside of all of us. And they say that prayer is us talking to God or talking to the higher force that we may happen to believe in. And they say that meditation is actually listening to the answers. So that's what I have done in my life. I've meditated, especially recently, where I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need help. Well, mm-hmm. After I ask for help, then I sit still. And then I wait until the answers come to me. And if we're patient enough, we could do it 1 minute, then it leads to 5 minutes, and sometimes, you know, today I meditated for 20 minutes, but the answers will come. And getting out there to do the work means educating yourself about how do I forgive? By listening to calls like this one, by Googling forgiveness, by reading my book when it comes out, or reading my forgiveness article when I finally finish you know what I mean? Like, educating ourselves, because we educate ourselves about everything else, Jose. We go to school, we go to professional development when we want to, you know, get better in terms of our skills for our career. But we also need to take the time and make the investment in investing in ourselves, our personal selves, our insides, because really that is what drives us to do the rest of the work, to make sure that the rest of the areas of our lives are really balanced and successful and are in a healthy place. That's where the health and wellness comes in.
You're absolutely right, and I 100% agree with you with the whole health and wellness piece and really investing in yourself, you know, and really taking, you know, very conscious and intentional steps to, you know, making a better you, being a better person. And that takes a lot of work, but it's definitely doable. I have a couple of more questions for you, Carmen, because speaking to you is always a pleasure. And you know, resentment is a very big piece of forgiveness or not forgiving, or sits within the realm of forgiveness. And I once read a quote from Nelson Mandela that stated that resentment of the seed of unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it would kill your enemies. I took that as saying that you are the one that is walking around heavy-hearted and in pain, but you expect the other person to be the one to feel it, right? What is your interpretation of, you know, his quote of the seed of unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it will kill your enemies?
You know, Nelson Mandela, amazing spirit, amazing, courageous human being, such a great example of what we all have the potential of doing, and many of us are doing that work already, right? You know, it is poison. Resentment anger. Whenever I'm reading this this book that's called A Course in Miracles, and it's based on studying the psychology of spirituality. And many of our current spiritual masters of our time, like Marianne Williamson, Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Wayne Dyer, reference A Course in Miracles often. And the basis of this book is that it all begins with love and forgiveness. Anything that is the opposite of love then has to do with fear, it has to do with the anger, it has to do with the resentment. And that is not our natural state. We are born from love. We are born in that state, right? And usually as we get older, as a result of our environment, as a result of certain situations that may happen at home, between our family, our friends, or our teachers, or society, or things that we see on TV, messages that we hear, etc., we start to develop these other emotions, and these other situations and circumstances arise that cause us to feel these negative emotions. And the work that you and I are doing is healing work. It's putting light on that darkness. We are the lighthouses that, through example, like you said, in order to do this work, you have to be able to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk, right? So in order for me to help someone else heal, I needed to have healed that wound inside of me so that then now I can extend my hand as the teacher to someone else who is in pain, to someone else who is in need of feeling better, of wanting to be happier, of wanting to feel a sense of peace, a sense of fulfillment, to find their purpose in life, to have, you know, health and balance in all their life areas. But in order for me to be able to do that for someone else, I needed to have healed that wound and putting light on it. So being able to be conscious of that myself and then sharing that message through forums like this, and thank you again, Jose, for doing this work, for having the courage and the vision to use this platform to share your personal work, but also to share your professional skills and abilities and messages with our brothers and our sisters who need people like us to rise up to say, you are not alone. You are not alone in the pain. You are not alone in the resentment. You are not alone in the anger. You are not alone in the shame. How often have we experienced shame, you know, as a result of the pain or as a result of feeling angry towards a parent? Like, even though I may have been pissed off at my father, I was also shameful to be a daughter who was pissed off at her father. Like, associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's a cycle. And then unless we shed that spotlight on the ugly parts of humanity that is inside of all of us, then we're unable to heal it. So that's what we're doing right now by having this conversation. We're shedding light on subjects that people don't often know how to verbalize. Like, you know there's something going on. You and I were having that conversation yesterday. You know something doesn't feel right. You know you're pissed off at this. You know you're angry at that person. But sometimes, you know, they're just thoughts in your head, or maybe they're just feelings inside, but you don't even know how to put it into words,
right?
Let alone be able to put it into words to then ask someone to help you get to a better place. And that's why this work is so important that we're doing, because we're starting to do the work to help other people, but understanding that this is a lifelong process. Like, I get it. I'm going to be doing this until I die, but I'm going to be guaranteed, and I'm saying this out to everyone who's listening and to God in the universe, that I will be on my bed when I am ready to pass on, to leave this body, and I am going to look back on my life and say, I am proud of every single thing that I did, and I am proud of the fact that I made the choice to live my life intentionally. I made the choice to live my life with purpose. I made the choice to live from a place of love instead of a place of fear and of pain and resentment, at least most of my life. So I know for me personally that the rest of my life is the best of my life because now my consciousness is much different. I know how good it feels to live from a place of forgiveness and love and compassion. I don't want to go back to that place. And when I go back to it, I move out of it so much quicker. And you can speak to that too.
Absolutely. I think I'm writing down that the rest of my life is the best of my life. I think that's a model to live by. I thank you for your words. Now, my last question to you or for you is this. In relation to forgiveness, you know, getting back to my friend in my head, what do you know for sure?
Our friend and mentor and role model, Oprah Winfrey, what do you know for sure? I know for sure that this work is necessary. I know for sure that I am a healer. I know for sure that I am a vessel of love, of peace, and compassion. And I am not here to convince anyone. I am here to be an example. And when you're an example of lightness, when you're an example of love and of compassion and of peace, then others are attracted to that light, and they want to be that. They want to be close to that. And that is, in essence, what I know for sure, that driving force inside of me comes from my spirit, comes from my connection to this higher power, the higher force, to God, the universe, the element, everything. We are all one. And my healing is your healing. Your healing is your father's healing. But it begins with ourselves as individuals. So I know for sure that I am the lighthouse. I know for sure that I am love and peace.
Very well said. Thank you, Carmen. I want to thank you for being with us tonight and for being so generous as usual and candid with your personal story. I know issues such as this one are difficult to talk about, and for that, I really, really thank you from the bottom of my heart, my dear friend. Please give the listeners your information should they want to reach you.
Sure, and once again, Jose, thank you for creating this platform and giving all of us an opportunity to really talk about important human emotions so that other people know that they are not alone on this journey, this beautiful, exciting journey that we call life. Okay, so if anyone wants to reach me, you can email me at carmen.pena, P-E-N-A, 93@gmail.com. That's carmen.pena93@gmail.com. Or you could visit my website at lifeconversationswithcarmen.com.
Great. Thank you, listeners. And Carmen, I have a couple of more of my last parting words. But thank you again for being here. As for me, you can reach me, and please understand that Carmen and I will be working together moving forward, so you will definitely be seeing more of our partnership and hearing more of our partnership. I also want our listeners to thank you for being with us and supporting the show and supporting your personal growth. For me, you can always visit my website at www.josealbinolifecoach.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter at josealbinocoach. That's again, my website is www.josealbinolifecoach.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at josealbinocoach. Now, for me, as far as forgiveness goes is a difficult thing to understand, and even more so a difficult construct to release. Now, when it comes history, perhaps in years and years of anger, resentment, denial, shame, and complaining of how things could have been and how things should have been, whether it be towards a person or persons or a particular situation, I say to you, let it go. Make a decision to let it go. Be aware of your pain and make a decision not to live within that pain any longer. Whatever the negative emotion or thought is, release it. Again, it's not easy to do. But next time your mind or your heart or your spirit brings you back to that lonely place of feeling like a victim because of something someone did or someone did you wrong or didn't live up to the standard that you set up for them, make a conscious decision to let it go, to let go of that story and begin crafting a new one, because the old one does not serve you. The only person hurting is yourself. Stop carrying around that energy, because like energy attracts like energy, and you'll be inviting people into your circle that support your resentful state. People say that there's not much you can control in life, and that is true, but forgiveness, you can. You are the one responsible for forgiveness and for forgiving someone. That is why it's so powerful, and that is why it is so releasing, because you have made the choice. Having said that, please tune in to the next show on Life Coach Radio Network, which will be on August 22nd at 7 p.m., and it will be Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman. Thank you again, and thank you all for listening. Until next time, and always remember that those that got to where they are began where they were. So whatever you want to do or accomplish, big or small, simply take a small step and take action. It's not that hard, I promise you. Have a good night, and thank you, Carmen.
Thank you.
Good night.
Namaste. Good night.